Welcome to Saving Animals with Blank Park Zoo. I'm Ryan Bickle. On today's show, we have two very special guests, two zookeepers at Blank Park Zoo. We have Animal Supervisor Lou Keeley. He takes care of all the rhinos and the giraffe and all those animals, along with Jordan Longton, another large mammal keeper here at Blank Park Zoo. Welcome.
Thanks for having us, Ryan. Good to be here.
Well, first of all, let's start with you, Lou, and tell us a little bit of your background, why you got into zookeeping.
Sure. You know, I grew up in Chicago, so there's not much animal life around there, if you can believe that. So I really grew up going to Brookfield Zoo in Chicago. And that's kind of where my love of animals came from. Loved going to the zoo all the time. So when I went to college and went to zoology, and it kind of just blossomed from there, getting internships and getting in the zoo field that way.
And you spent a little time in Africa, right? When you were training to be a zookeeper, right?
I have. I went to graduate school at Michigan State University, and part of that program was you had to do an internship, and I got to do it in South Africa. So really, I lived in a zoo for 3 months in Pretoria, which was cool, and getting to see the ins and outs of what they got to do there in Africa. So it was pretty cool.
Cool. Jordan, tell us, what was your first the first time you thought about, hey, I want to work with animals?
I grew up in southern Minnesota, and I went to the Minnesota Zoo with my grandma all the time, and she would take all of us grandkids, and her and I would just stand at every exhibit and watch as long as we could. It didn't matter if they were moving. We just loved looking at animals, and I just knew that was what I wanted to do. I wanted to be around animals. So I went to school. I went to Wisconsin, kind of went around, ended up here at Drake here in Des Moines. And I actually have a psychology major, which is not as typical in zookeeping field. But my advisor mentioned the internship, the summer internship here at Blank Park Zoo, and got involved with that. So I was the summer intern, and I was hired on after that part-time, and then here I am.
Jordan, tell us, what is it like, everyday duties? Just take us through a day in the life of a zookeeper.
All right. Well, first thing, we go through our areas and check on all of our animals, make sure everybody looks okay, nobody's hurt, everybody's where they should be. And then we start kind of giving them their morning breakfast. So that involves, you know, putting in hay for our animals, some grain. In the summer, we usually get our exhibits ready, get them ready for the public, make sure there's no trash, make sure there's food out there, and that takes some time. Then we shift our animals on exhibit, and then we clean until about lunchtime. And so that's just a lot of sweeping, raking, shoveling, and then we set it all up for the evening when they come back. So in between there, we get to do the fun stuff, which is training. And making enrichment. Enrichment is kind of the toys and stuff you see on exhibit. And so that's just keeping them stimulated and just really trying to make sure that they're doing okay. And yeah, that's...
Tell us a little bit about training. How do we approach training at Blank Park Zoo?
So all the training programs here are positive reinforcement, meaning that we ask for behavior and they get rewarded if they do it. If they don't, they're not punished. They're just, you know, that's their choice. And so for our animals, we're all protected contact, meaning there's a barrier between us and the animals. So we never go in. So a lot of the training, we're asking them to help us help them. And all of it's healthcare related. So if we need them to show us a part of their body, we train them to present that part of the body so we can get a good look at it. And that really helps, you know, when it comes to needing to, you know, if they have a cut or if we need to administer medication. So all the training has to do with healthcare. And it's really great. And it builds that positive relationship with the animals too.
Yeah. The way I understand it is, let's take, for instance, the giraffe. If we don't train the giraffe to present, say, a hoof, then when we have to inspect the hoof, we have to anesthetize. And there's all sorts of issues with doing that repeatedly, right, Lou?
Exactly, Ryan. Especially with giraffe, which is so risky when you're trying to sedate them. They could react, you know, bad to the drugs. And when you just think about a giraffe, which is kind of awkward when it even tries to lay down and move, when you're you're giving the animal this drug and it kind of falls down, and it's a way to, how do you get them to do it safely is kind of a big deal with them. So, I mean, the keepers here at the zoo do such great things with training. It's amazing the different things that they can get the animals to do, you know, just with a whistle and a cracker, a piece of produce. So the things that they get to do with the giraffe, hoof trimming, body positioning, voluntary blood draws, it's pretty amazing. And the animals like to do it is kind of the thing that people like to hear most.
Yeah, it's sort of fun to watch. I mean, our sea lions, for example, I mean, you guys don't work with sea lions, but we have quite a demonstration throughout the summer and even in the winter time of sea lions doing their thing, getting trained, and they've done some incredible surgeries, and you know, they can check their eyes, which need drops daily. A lot of them have cataract issues and that sort of thing.
And yeah, and we've been talking about medical, you know, behaviors a lot. But like with the sea lions, they just love doing it. And so it's kind of enrichment for them to have that interaction with the zookeeping staff and to do that and work for their food. They kind of love just doing that. And it's fun and it's stimulating for them.
Some of the fun things that guests can do at Blank Park Zoo with some of our large mammals, I think of giraffe feeding. Tell us a little bit about that. I mean, that didn't happen overnight, I'm guessing, with the giraffe.
Well, giraffe are a little bit timid and kind of standoffish with new things. And so when they introduced the giraffe public feeding a while back, it took a little bit for the giraffe to come over and get used to being around the public so much. But really, they kind of warmed up to it once they knew there was food on the receiving end, and then it was fine. Yeah. So the giraffe loved coming over, interacting with the public, and really getting those romaine treats from them. And it's really enjoyable for them and the public. The public just love being so close to the animals, and it's really a great opportunity for them.
And Jordan, this winter, something new and exciting is happening at the zoo with the giraffe. Normally we don't see the giraffe, you know, from like October 15th to, you know, May 1st.
That's
usually.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about what the zoo has added.
Well, now we have our great new giraffe pavilion. And it's not only great for the giraffe, it's a lot more space. It's a great barn. But now it's public viewing. So now you can come see the giraffe year round. And it's just awesome. So we've got a nice path that comes down, and you can see the giraffe whenever you want. And I believe we'll hopefully be doing some giraffe feeding in there in the future. We're just working some things out with that, but it's been really great. We love the barn. The giraffe love the barn. We've got these nice rubber floors in all the stalls. It's just a great improvement, and it's great for the public that they can come see these guys whenever.
One of the more exciting things that's happened in my time here at Blank Park Zoo is not only building a new rhino exhibit, but also getting two rhino in and seeing them grow up and then have a baby. So tell us, both of you, tell us what that was like to be zookeepers with something that was so high profile and really cool.
Really, it was fun. I started about the same month that the two rhinos came in. So it was fun watching them grow up and getting them used to everything, because it's a weird thing for an animal to come in. So our female's from Miami. So I was a little bit different from Miami, different climate, different barn space, all those things they have to get used to. So it was fun being part of that process, getting them comfortable here, getting them, you know, to shift into the different stalls or to go outside. Even our male was a little bit timid going outside. So that was a struggle, finding different ways, positive ways for him to go on exhibit. So it's all these little milestones and steps that we've reached, you know, along the way of doing it. And that led up to our rhino introduction. So, of course, if rhinos have to breed, they have to be together. Black rhinos normally are a little bit more solitary than other rhino species, so they're not always together. But we got to the point where our male and female rhino were together on exhibit every day during the summertime, which was great. And that just gave them the opportunities when Ayana started kind of cycling and coming into estrus. They had that opportunity to breed. And when it happened, it was really great to see. And when we were talking about training before, another cool thing that we trained our female to do was ultrasound training. So we got to see, kind of diagnose the pregnancy. We had, you know, a rhino expert from Cincinnati Zoo come in to do an ultrasound and, you know, She got the probe in. She said, yep, she's pregnant. And so when we heard that, it was just a really great feeling. It was just a culmination of a lot of great things coming together, a lot of hard work from keeper staff. And it was just kind of a relief and a lot of fun. So,
tell us a little bit about the pregnancy. I mean, rhinos are pregnant for quite a while.
Yes, they are. 15 to 16 months. And it's a long wait, and there's a long time that you can't really confirm it. We did a lot of hormone analysis, so we were collecting fecal samples. We collected saliva samples, and we were just hoping and wishing that she was pregnant. We were waiting for those signs. And then once that's where all that ultrasound training paid off, when that was confirmed, because that was it was about 9 months. We got that confirmed, so we still had quite a ways to go. But then we really knew we needed to prepare for this baby that was coming. So it was, for me, I mean, this is pretty early in my career. I've only been zookeeping for 3 years. And so I've been really privileged to have this experience and be a part of this team that made this happen. Being there on the day of copulation and seeing this happen when not every rhino keeper even gets to have that opportunity, and just to be part of this team. And then to have work with this awesome baby rhino. Tumani is great, and she's just a ton of fun. So it's been really cool the whole way through.
Tell us, Lou, a little bit about the conservation of rhinos. How many rhinos are left? And first of all, what type of rhinos we have here at Blank Park Zoo?
So we at the Blank Park Zoo have the eastern black rhino, which is a subspecies of the black rhino species. So of that subspecies, only about 700 left in the wild, and they're from eastern Africa. Black rhino species as a whole, about 5,000. And they're considered critically endangered. So that means if nothing's done to help conserve these guys out in the wild, they will be extinct, you know, within 15, 20 years. And a lot of this has to do with poaching, which is just widespread throughout Africa, and it hits the two African species, the white and black rhino. Especially in South Africa, that country alone, there's about 3 rhinos poached per day. So this is for their horn. Poachers will shoot the rhinos, harvest the horn. And those horns normally end up in Southeast Asia, where it's used for medicinal purposes or different things. It's more high-profile businessmen that kind of buy these horns, and it's almost like a status symbol, like owning a sports car or something like that.
And if you just do the math, you know, it takes 15, 16 months for a rhino to give birth. And if you take a number of females out of the mix, they're unable to give birth, and it just takes such a long time for rhinos to give birth that it affects poaching a rhino affects the population drastically.
Yeah, you're dead on there. The wildlife trade really hits hard these large animals, rhino, elephant, whales, that have these long gestation periods. So if, you know, one female's, you know, is gone, that takes, you know, a lot of animals out of the population, potential animals.
Yeah. Let's talk about the Staff Conservation Fund. Now, Lou, you've had the ability, you said you did some training when you were becoming a zookeeper in Africa, but you've also been to Africa since you've been here at Blank Park Zoo, sort of on a conservation trip.
That's right. I was really lucky enough to be awarded the Staff Conservation Fund to go to Uganda, which was a great experience. And I was with Rhino Fund Uganda for a couple of weeks volunteering with the sanctuary. So kind of a little bit of a background. Rhinos have been extinct from the country of Uganda since the 1980s. And this has been due to, you know, civil unrest, poaching there, that, you know, rhinos were hunted or driven out of the country. So this sanctuary is really breeding rhinos to put back into their wildlife park. So I was helping rangers monitor the rhinos. I was on night patrols, doing maintenance around anything that I could to help, you know, with their mission. It was just such a great experience there. And it was great for Blank Park Zoo to send staff, you know, to help these conservation organizations.
What did you learn specifically? Is there something that you learned while you were there that you couldn't have known not by going?
I think I was working with white rhinos in Uganda, and it was incredible the similarities between white and black rhinos and all these different things that I've never seen our rhinos do, but now I'm kind of picking up, you know, on different behavioral cues that our rhinos do that I saw in Uganda. So it was great to see that, and just meeting these rangers and hearing their stories. And these were, you know, people I would never would have met, you know, without this opportunity. So to come back here and I still talk to these folks and just to share their stories around the zoo is really something great.
And you have a new appreciation for Watusi, I hear.
Our Watusi Kel, yes. Another cool thing, Rhinophone Uganda has a great partnership with their, you know, the local villagers. They let the cattle come in and graze, you know, during daylight hours. So they have this great partnership. And the local villagers, if they hear about poaching or something bad going on, you know, outside of the sanctuary, they come and tell the sanctuary about these different things. So it's really a win-win situation over there. And the cows are kind of central to that.
All right. And Jordan, you're very excited right now because in about 2 weeks, you're going to be headed over to Africa. Tell us tell us about where you're going, what you're going to do, what your plans are, what your hopes are for this trip.
Yeah. So I was lucky enough to be awarded the award for the Conservation Fund. So I get to go to Namibia in Africa. And that's Southern Africa. And I get to do giraffe research with the Giraffe Conservation Foundation. And so this might not be the first time anybody's hearing about that because last year we had my coworker, Pat Knepp, went on this trip. And we have a great partnership with the GCF. And so I'll be going on the 13th. I'll be flying over to Namibia. And so we'll spend about 10 days in the field. And what we're doing there, they're doing basically population counting and seeing the genetic differences in the between the populations there, making sure that they're healthy. So, there's a couple different things these projects are doing. I remember Pat Knepp got to go and he was collaring giraffe. So they were actually knocking these guys down, getting a collar on them, and so they can have some GPS information and get that kind of data. So what we'll probably be doing is more DNA collecting, which is kind of like a dart gun, which kind of gets us like a skin plug. And so you can kind of research that data and collect that, and you can kind of see the population that's happening there because giraffe populations are declining. And so it's a really big deal. Not many people know about it, but Giraffe Conservation Foundation is the leader in giraffe research right now and trying to figure out what's going on, what is the population status anyway. And so I'm really excited to go help out with that. So,
yeah, Ryan, not a lot of people know that so little is known about wild giraffe. You think, you know, you see them in zoos all the time. People love giraffe. You know giraffe. But so little is known. So it's great for us to send keepers. Jordan, Pat, we've had a keeper before go and help Giraffe Conservation Foundation. And Blank Park Zoo has been a really long time supporter of GCF, one of the first and one of the biggest supporters. So they love us. They love coming to our little zoo and love being a partner with us. So it's just what a great partnership we have with them.
Tell us something about zookeeping that people don't know.
Go ahead, Jordan.
Let's bust some myths here. You know, people probably just think zookeeping is all about cleaning up after the animals.
Surprisingly, we get a lot of, can we go cuddle the animal? Or can I go, we get this a lot. Can I go ride the rhino? No, you can't. it is a lot more hands-off, especially in our areas. These guys are wild animals. And so even though they were born and bred in captivity, so this is what they know. But we don't, they're not cats and dogs. They're not our pets. We respect them and respect the space that they have and what's theirs. And, I think there's a whole new appreciation when you start being a zookeeper for how incredibly huge these animals are and, that they really are wild animals. But it's one of the things is, yeah, it's about 80% cleaning, and 20% fun stuff with training. And, you know, people come in and they're just, why are we cleaning all day? But that's a big part of taking care of animals. But as zookeepers, it's worth it. That 80% makes everything worth it, you know.
One of the fun things I saw you do maybe a year ago, Lou, is with enrichment is painting with the rhino. Tell us a little bit about that.
That's right. We trained our rhinos to paint. So black rhinos have what's called a prehensile lip. So they can move it around and grasp things almost like a little elephant trunk. So what we do, we put, you know, a couple globs of paint on a canvas, and the rhinos know how to move the paint around with their lips, and they get rewarded for it, and it's fun for them, and people really love getting those paintings. So that's fun, and a lot of folks do that with their rhinos.
How much does a rhino eat every day?
Normally around 50 pounds. So we got little Tumani now. She's actually still nursing from mom. So they'll nurse from mom from 2 to 3 years of age. But she's been eating solids probably since about a month old. So she keeps eating more and more, and they probably act like they're starving, but they eat plenty.
Well, she's grown quite a bit in 1 year time.
That's right. She was born at 80 pounds. What is she at now, Jordan?
Over 1,200.
1,200 pounds. So, yeah, they've grown quite a bit in over a year's time.
Well, tell us something about... you know, you said 3 years. What is unexpected about zookeeping?
What is unexpected?
Your great boss? Is that what you're going to say?
That's definitely it. My great boss. No, it's really just how much I love the hard work of it. You know, it is hard work, and especially being a large mammal team, we've got big animals, lots of waste. Lots of hay that they go through. You know, that's a lot of food for a rhino. And, you know, we're the ones that but we stock all of our barns and stuff. But I guess I'm most surprised that it doesn't matter, that it's an incredible opportunity to be around these guys every day. And every time I walk in the draft barn, I'm still just amazed that I get to be here and that I get to work with these guys every day.
Lou, if someone wants to get into zookeeping, what do they need to do? I mean, a lot of people want to be zookeepers, so it's highly competitive. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, you're right. It's a very highly competitive field, and a lot of folks don't know that zookeepers are highly educated people, very dedicated, and it takes sometimes a lot of years just to get your foot in the door to get, you know, a paid position. So kind of what I tell people that are interested in becoming zookeepers is first, try to become a volunteer at a zoo. So helping out animal care teams is really a great way just to see if you like it or not. Like Jordan was saying, it's a lot of hard work, heavy lifting. Some people just aren't into that, or they have hay allergies, or they're allergic to cats or whatever it is that might hinder their want to be a zookeeper. So volunteering, and then if you feel like that's for you, you're going to go to college normally, at least get a 2-year. We prefer a 4-year degree. And that's something to do with animals, so animal science, biology, zoology, anything like that. And then once you're in that, you could kind of find out internships. So most zoo internships are unpaid, so there's that aspect of it. And it's a lot of work. It's a lot of hours, and it's a lot of time, you know, learning and spending with the animals and shadowing zookeepers and learning as much as you can. So again, that's another opportunity to see if it's for you or not for you. And then it could be discouraging for a lot of people because normally you're going to be – there's not many zoos across the country. And even where you grew up, there's probably not a zoo. So you're probably going to be moving somewhere else to find an opportunity. So people always think, oh, you're going to San Diego Zoo or something like that. That's not always going to be the case. So I started off full-time at a small zoo, and a lot of people tend to do that because there's some opportunities there as opposed to larger zoos where zookeepers tend to stay a lot longer, maybe better pay. So yeah, it's really a labor of love. If you want to do it and if you feel that's your calling, you're going to stick with it. And yeah, there's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears with that, as a lot of our interns know. So we don't sugarcoat it for them because if you're going to do it, it might be painful.
And you might not get to work with your choice of animal. You may have to work with different animals, right?
That might be. And then once an opportunity opens up down the road, then you can try to get in with that.
Healthcare with animals. You know, you work closely with the vets, and tell us how that collaboration works with our veterinarians.
So we talked about training before, and a lot of, you know, kind of medical procedures. So what we do is we meet with vet staff before we think about training anything to get what their priorities are. And then we try to work that in with what are, you know, what we train the animals. So it's definitely, we work very close with vet staff, especially zookeepers. They're the ones with eyes on the animals the most. So we know, you know, the ins and outs of every individual that we have at the zoo. So we can pick up on all these cues and behaviors that might tip us off that something's wrong. So an animal's limping slightly, or an animal didn't eat overnight, or its poop looks weird, whatever it is, we're always the ones to see that first and then notify vet staff. And they come down and look, and it's really nice having great vets here that we have a good partnership with, because it's important.
And, you know, some of the things that the vets do when the animal needs an x-ray, they have a portable x-ray machine that comes out, or an ultrasound that comes right into the area, right? And so that training helps that animal stay still for that.
That's right. And what we do as trainers, we'll make little mock-up cardboard, you know, x-ray machines, and we try to, you know, approximate what the animal's going to see and train it, you know, and prepare it for what's going to happen that day. If there's going to be a lot of people down there, we'll bring a lot of people down during training sessions. If there's going to be noises or lights or this kind of stuff, that's all part of training. Just so when that day comes, that procedure is going to happen, they kind of know and get a feel for what's going to happen.
Tell us about the future. What you want to see happen? I mean, we're not announcing anything right now, even though, you know, there's some things happening in Africa, but in our Africa section, I should say. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I think, you know, the future is here now with the new giraffe barn, which is really great. But we have brought in some new species, Niala, Slenderhorn Gazelle. So these are breeding species. So we're hoping to have some calves out, if not this spring, then later this summer. So that'll be fun for people to come and see. And there might be new species down the road, because we do have some room with our new barns. So we're kind of talking now about what would fit in with our zoo, with our climate, and be successful here at the zoo. So there might be some cool stuff coming down the road.
And we're working on a Watusi barn right now, right?
Yeah, new Watusi barn. If you folks don't know what Watusi are, those are the bighorn cows you could see out in the zoo. So they're going to get a new barn, and then they're going to share it with the ostrich as well.
Also, we're going to move the ostrich to a different section.
In the different section. So
it's amazing, the Watusi, with their big long horns, that they can navigate indoors through doors, you know, because they, you know, otherwise you'd have to have like a 15-foot wide door.
Yeah, that'd be a cumbersome door. So we're glad they don't have to do that. But it's fun to watch them doing that. And they know where the horns are, so they know.
All right. Well, thanks to both of you today, and good luck on your trip.
Thank you.
And if you want to learn more about Blank Park Zoo, head on over to our website, blankparkzoo.com. And you can head over to our YouTube channel, too, and you can see all sorts of videos about Tumani when she was born, and all sorts of cute videos, her first bath, and
lion cubs,
all sorts of things at blankparkzoo.com. Well, that's all the time we have for today, and join us next time for Saving Animals with Blank Park Zoo.